I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Oh!
most amazing scenes here. Everton beat Liverpool 2-0. The Reds are losing the plot all over the place. The Blues are loving it. It's been 14 years. Oh, they just can't take it. This being these lads look like they were dead and buried after that Chelsea game, but they've dragged it together. The manager's pulled it together, and to produce a performance like that, just absolutely phenomenal. Seamus Coleman's out on the pitch here, giving it loads. Jared Brathwaite, fucking incredible. The goalkeeper was amazing. A phenomenal effort from the ball. I mean, just fucking listen to it. That's what a Merseyside derby win sounds like. 14 years, and the Blues have beaten them. And listen, all I heard all week was it's about us stopping them, their title challenge. This is about us tonight, this is about Everton. It's about fucking time. And yeah, we're going to enjoy it, and we'll be back. What I imagine will be an absolutely wild Denby Castle, to go over that in more detail, but fucking hell, the Blues have done it. It's been a long time since I've been able to say this in a podcast, but we are the pride of Merseyside, up for the fucking toffees. Yeah, we are back at the Denby Castle now. Just everyone's absolutely buzzing. For now, I've got Keith, Dave, and Mark Murray's with me to reflect on that. Murray's, is that the greatest game of football ever played?
Yeah, and we've had arguments about the league and the sport in general. But I think we'd all happily just cancel the whole thing now. Because we've done it. We've done all the things. It was just an accumulation of so many great permutations of that win. You know, 14 years of waiting to see a derby win at Goodison Park. Nearly essentially guaranteeing our safety. And of course, spoiling Liverpool's title hopes. I think we all knew that coming into this game it was probably going to be the last Goodison derby under the lights. If you could kind of draw, paint, record, video what a Goodison night under the lights is meant to be, then that was absolutely it. I think that the thing that really resonates with me about that win is that it almost didn't feel like a derby win because of how much we really, really deserved it. And I always thought in my mind for the last 14 years that when this happens, it will be because a bit of luck finally goes our way or we finally get that break. And it really didn't feel like that. And I know, you know, it's all well and good saying it in hindsight, but I'm trying to think how I felt at 70 minutes, and it really wasn't that worried. At no point did I think Liverpool are probably going to score soon, and I've spent 35 years of my life thinking that Liverpool are going to score soon, even when they're not playing. It was just what Sean Dyche's Everton, I suppose, is. You know, we've all had a lot of complaints, and me no less than anyone else, in terms of how painful this side can be to watch. But every manager and every side and every player has its particular cause and has its particular moments. And I think to a man, every player and the manager, that is what football has to look like for them in order for this to succeed. And, you know, like or loathe the outcome of it, he's earned a contract for another 8 months without even thinking about it in the last 4 days, hasn't he?
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Dave, how do you feel after that?
Yeah, it was... you know, I was just thinking, like, when he's starting on Sky, you won't have seen it, you guys, will you? But it was like watching, like, Liverpool's fucking heroic tale. Like, the end of, like, Lord of the Rings or something like that. We were mentioned for about 2 minutes. And do you know what? It was... I was worried from the start because I thought they're going to be straight at us straight away. We're going to sit deep because we're not that good, and that's the way it came. But you know, you see players actually stepping up like they did tonight. I mean, Idrissa Garner Gay, it's a small lad, he felt like, well, I was watching somebody who's about 8 foot tall tonight, and you know, making them look shit, that's a massive achievement when you see what they've looked like all season. 14 years since we won it at Goodison, even longer since we won it in front of people, because the last one at Anfield was in COVID. I started crying at the end of it. I'm not going to deny it. I was crying when we won that at the end there. Totally deserved. And you can go across the entirety of that 11 and the lads who came on off the bench. And we've been speaking a lot about it. What's a Sean Dyche team meant to be? That right there is what Sean Dyche's side's meant to be. And that was fighting for each other. All the sorts of cliche stuff you think about Sean Dyche as a manager. Like when... But Burnley was shite, but he kept them up. That's what he should be doing with Everton. That's what he did with Everton. That's what every single player did tonight. And it's hard to pick a man of the match. And that says a lot about what that side's been like all season long, doesn't it?
Keith, so many good things about it. The team, the atmosphere, Gunnarsson looking amazing. But I think what also made it like extra special is that there were just so many really funny little moments in there as well. Where they, like, Everton were boss, Everton bullied them. Everton dominated that game in particular spells, but they just completely lost the plot, didn't they, as well? And it made it even sweeter.
I think one moment that we have to touch on in that vein is second half, when we were coming out from a corner and Jack Harrison chased the ball down, and he went as if he shaped as if he was going to knock it down the line, and Andy Robertson did a big stretch, Harrison did a little Cruyff flick, went back inside, Robertson skidded, then stood up, then fell over right in front of the Bullens. And I think it was the pinnacle. I'm going to disagree with Dave here on it's hard to pick a man of the match, and I've been a big critic of his a lot of junctures both this season and last, but Idrissa Gueye tonight was head and shoulders above any other player on that pitch. He was fucking magnificent. He was so good. Calvert-Lewin deserves a bit of recognition for his efforts, because he bullied their centre-half so much that one of them got hauled off after an hour. But Idrissa Gueye was different class tonight. I'm strangely for me, I'm slightly lost for words after all that, because like Mo said, I spent 30 odd years, nearly 40 years in my case, watching Everton capitulate to Liverpool. And tonight, from that first whistle, there wasn't a hint of capitulation about them. They went for the throat from the first minute and they never let up, right? Even after the goal in the first half, so we scored after what, about half an hour? The last 15 minutes of the half, Liverpool had the ball entirely to do what they liked.
That was the toughest part of the game, wasn't it, then?
But did they really look like scoring? I think they had one chance.
Pickford made
a big save from Nunez. Other than that, I think we defended them really well. The shape was brilliant. The defensive shape tonight was superb. Liverpool obviously spent most of the game switching the play side to side, trying to drag Everton out of shape, but they just refused to go out of shape. If it went to the left, Everton's right back went out, the other three stayed. If it went to the right, Everton's left back went, the other three stayed. And it was a very disciplined performance at the back, and it's something we haven't seen a lot this season. I know, like, defensively we are up there as one of the better teams in terms of stats, but we've looked shaky all season. Like, games against pretty much every team at Goodison, you could say, oh, they probably should have scored two or three there. Not tonight. They were magnificent, and I cannot put fault to any of them tonight. I thought they were brilliant.
Matt Flusk and Emma Kosh join us as well now. Matt, 14 years, long fucking time, but not worth the wait, but bloody hell, it's a great way to break that dog, isn't it?
Yeah, put it this way, the last time we beat them at Goodison, my brother wasn't there because he was in the hospital waiting for his missus to give birth. The son that was born that day is now taller than Keith. So, not saying that about Keith's height, but he's obviously 14 or 13. I'm not going to give any red hot. Oh, fuck it. Sorry, I'm just. No, that's not what I said, brother. I've just realised that the gaffer's put my disco playlist on shuffle, the bastard. I'm not going to give any red hot football analysis. Other people are better than that. I'm just going to pick out three lovely moments for me. One is the game itself, that it went exactly how everyone thought it would go. A classy ball playing side meets a team that wants to kick the other one off the park, except it was the other way around. First half especially, they were just sent out there to boot us, and we just, especially Garner Gay, like you said, just danced around them. Second is, I've never seen a goalkeeper want a clean sheet more in my life. Like, he would have done backflips like, you know, Rene Higuita to keep that ball out the net.
It's so good tonight, Pickford.
And biggest one for me is I never thought in all my years I would see a Liverpool manager in the 84th minute, 2-0 down in the derby, bring on two defenders. He may as well have chucked a massive red towel on the pitch. Like, could you imagine the state of Everton Twitter if Sean Dyche had brought on Michael Keane and Seamus Coleman when we're 2-0 down? Like, we need to preserve our goal difference. They don't. I've never seen the like, and I don't really understand what's happened. Not only have we won a derby for the first time in a proper one in over a decade, not only have we ended their title challenge, not only have we ended their season, we have ended the legacy of their best manager since the 80s. That doesn't happen to us. What's going on?
Beautiful. Ed, how are you feeling after that, mate? Just amazing emotions here. It's wonderful to see.
I'm astonished. I must admit, I didn't think I would get to see us beat them at Goodison. I've sadly not had that opportunity, and I turned up tonight thinking, please, just please, that's all I could think. And we've seen so many Everton sides for the derby, because it's such a big game, get too hyped up or get too scared or forget what they need to be doing, forget their orders. We saw a team tonight that was galvanised. Every single one of them wanted that, desperately. They wanted to work together. The organisation was incredible. From back to front, they all worked their absolute socks off. And if they're terrible at the weekend, I don't blame them one bit. Because they gave it everything, everything. And just think, 9 days ago, that pathetic performance against Chelsea, 9 days. And to turn it around like that, we've all had varying degrees of doubt about Sean Dyche, about a lot of these players. To some degree understandable, to some degree we've been, getting a bit overboard. But the way they've turned it round in the last week and a half is testament to how hard they have worked and how much they want it. And that's all we wanted as well. We want them to fight. They fought today. We forced a very, very good Liverpool team to perform awfully. They were terrible. So we ought to drink this in. We ought to just celebrate it. I'm not going to go too deep into the analysis. What a moment. Let's drink into it as much as we can. I'm so happy. So happy.
That's what I was sort of saying, Dave, like in the ground then coming out. Like all week I sort of heard was, well, Everton won the big game. And listen, like before the game, like you're in the pub where we talking here, Keith, and like you're saying, like everyone's quite relaxed about this. You know, we beat Forest, but a lot of the stuff I heard was like Everton are going to throw this one in because, you know, it doesn't matter. You know, we're basically sort of safe now anyway. I was like, that's a bit disingenuous and a bit disrespectful, really. And like Ed said there, like, that wasn't a team today that thought, oh, we've got Brentford and Sheffield United to come in the next few weeks. We're going to be sound. It was the team that were on it, that were motivated, that were focused. And like, as much as like they had the ball loads of times, like I felt like in the moments where we were on top and we had the chance to go, we really, really went for it. And we in those little 5-10 minute bursts, we really had them. And I just thought it was a little bit weird before like a game like this, that we were sort of like, well, Everton is going to just throw this one away, aren't they? Because, you know, they won against Forest, which is a little bit mad when you, in hindsight.
Yeah, it felt this week that all the shows we've done on Monday as well, me and Les did the show on Monday, you didn't want to say the word freebie. But it's certainly what I felt it was, and I think a lot of people would be scared to say that now, given how we performed. But it did feel that way. I wouldn't go as far as saying that win against Forest took the pressure off. But certainly, we're still sitting here saying you've still got to go and get at least 6 more points. I think most people generally agree with that's what we'd need. It certainly didn't include these. I thought a draw tonight, I'd be over the moon if we got a draw tonight. And you know, the second part of that is, and I know it's bitter to say it, but I'd love to sort of stop them in the tracks of what they're going to go and try and do, what they're trying to do this season. The emotion that comes through that, I think, I don't know what you guys all think here, but I think relief isn't what I felt it would be against these. I'm more delighted with everything else that came before it than actually looking at a league table and thinking about 8 points clear and all that. It's more the fact that it's taken the force.
Is that how very clear we are now? 8 points.
8 points clear, which, I mean, you can get up and have a wank in the morning over that. But for the rest of this evening, mate, I'll have a semi on at the very least. But
and just a quick legal note on that. Nobody is masturbating in the pub.
Not yet, anyway. We haven't finished this. Still early. Yeah. I mean, that sort of performance, and again, it's something later on through the week that is definitely from another time on. Where's that been all season and all that sort of thing? But I thought that was so naive from Klopp to play like he did against us, because we're more than happy to sit there. We'd sit there all day. It's how we've won games this season. The amount of times I've said it, people are sick of hearing me say we're much better without the ball. We're miles better without the ball. I think we had like 20% of it today. You know, you have Godfrey playing. Godfrey played the best game he's ever played against Diaz, who seems to be the only outlet they had all game. You have players step up, and you know what? I'll go back to the game, mate. It's just party zone in here now, isn't it? Look, watching Wayne Rooney on the telly there, whose head's become a Rubik's Cube. I just didn't think we'd be feeling this for a long, long time. Not just because it's a derby, but everything else that's gone against us this season, all that shite. Sitting here with no context in it, just loving a derby win at Goodison. We were all fucking babies the last time we did it. Crazy.
I think it's like, it's the style of the game for me that makes makes you not think like that.
Did that feel to you like the Moyes one was when they last beat them?
You show up and within 15 minutes you think, right, we're quite dominant here, and if we score they're going to have a real issue. And then we scored, and then they just didn't respond, and then we scored again, and before you know it you're 15 minutes out and you're not going to lose the game. And then that all sounds very run of the mill, but it felt like a very run-of-the-mill Premier League win. And, you know, there's all sorts of, like, X's on top of that, like a fantastic atmosphere and that kind of background feeling that you've ruined their title challenge and all that sort of stuff. But, it just really didn't feel like how I thought the game would look for the last decade when you've kind of...
You thought you'd be, like, more delirious if it was 1-0, wouldn't it? I mean, we'd, like, hung on, like that.
The word that Dave mentioned was naive. I don't really expect the Liverpool team to come to Goodison Park and be naive throw a game away, and they absolutely did. You know, I've never seen them aimlessly cross the ball as much as they did. I've never seen Jordan Pickford catch the ball as many times as he did tonight, just because he was totally unopposed. And I've never seen a team so consistently naive at defending set pieces. To leave what is, for anyone who's not seen them, two massive lads in James Tarkowski and Jarrod Branthwaite to peel off at the back post on every single set piece and mark them with Szoboszlai and Trent Alexander-Arnold, it's just crazy. You know, that's the type of thing that you expect great managers like Jurgen Klopp to see two or three times and think, we need to stop that happening all the time. And for someone like, you know, we're all massive critics about playing long ball and direct football, but tonight it just really called for sensible decision making, and that sensible decision was to just bully them at every single dead ball situation, and that is absolutely what we did. And don't get me wrong, I don't think we were totally one dimensional. I think we caused some problems in a few different areas, but it's been a long time, even under Dyche and even under Allardyce and all these kind of yard dog managers that we've had, since I've been that excited to get a corner. I know any Reds listening will laugh at us celebrating corners like we have done for years.
I think we'll be mainly listening to this one.
Well, not right now, maybe live, but give it a few days. But there was a genuine sense of excitement at every single dead ball situation, because you thought, there's one team who is playing percentage footy here and one who have just totally switched off. And for once, it wasn't the wrong way round as far as the Blues were concerned.
Moses is absolutely spot on there. And it's something we touched on talking about in the first half. Every single dead ball Everton got in Liverpool's half, right, was the same setup every single time. Cross to the back post, big centre half, either Tarkowski or Branthwaite, to win the header, nod it back in and cause chaos. And not one single time did they deal with the header at the back post, right? A lot of the time, yeah, they dealt with the second ball, they got the second ball away, but that's just on it's a 50-50 where it lands. Not one single time did they get on to what we were doing. And it's incredibly tactically naive of Liverpool not to pick up on that. Every single free kick in that first half I watched, they had Alexis McAllister, who must be 5'3" in high heels, marking Jarrod Branthwaite. What were they doing? What did they think was going to come of that? And that's where Everton got a lot of success. And what you have to do is you have to credit Sean Dyche on that for picking a tactic that is very hard to defend against, because Jarrod Branthwaite is, I mean, he's essentially Optimus Prime in a blue shirt, right? He's a big fella. You're not going to win many in the air against him. But at no point did he try and double up on them. So, well done to Everton for picking out that tactic. It might, you might think, oh yeah, it's the same thing every time, it's a bit boring. I'm all for it. Cause as much chaos.
You find a weakness, force on the throws, isn't it? Yeah.
Well, it's the same as, do you remember the Spurs game?
Yeah.
When the keeper flapped every single corner on the goal line. Find a weakness, punish it. Punish it until they get on to it, and then find something else. And for me, a lot of the criticism this season on Dyche has been, he's been tactically inflexible. He sticks to the same thing. He won't change it up. He changed it up a bit tonight, and Everton reaped the rewards, and I'm all for it. I'm like, yeah, let's go. Let's be Route 1 Wimbledon crazy guy in Everton. I don't give a shit if it has results, and it had results tonight.
Even beyond the tactics, such a big thing for me was the execution. We didn't have a single corner that went into Alisson's hands. Not a single free kick that floated out of play. Not a single easy pass that went the wrong way. Everything worked because there was so much focus and they were doing the right things. And that's the criticism we've had all season. We say, where are the basics? Why are you not making this five-yard pass easy? Why are you not putting this cross in the right place? Even Forest at the weekend, which we won, the set pieces were awful. That was a great thing today. And the thing that's boggling my mind, we led for 70 minutes today against Liverpool. When do we do that? When do we do 70 minutes of football?
It must be a long time. Sorry to interrupt, but it must be a long time since we took the lead in a Goodison derby. Like, a very, very long time.
I'm struggling to think.
Probably
think
the Lukaku one in 2014, yeah?
Yeah, I think that's probably the last time that we did that. But the performance, if you were able, I can't, but if you were able to see it as a neutral and strip away all the emotion, it's just the most run-of-the-mill 2-0 win. So simple. I'll have to talk to someone who's a neutral and ask their opinion, but they'll say, oh, it's a very simple, easy 2-0 win. And obviously, I was racked with tension. Even
show me Klopp's tears!
I would love to see Klopp's tears. The mute time, quite rightly so. I think even in the 94th minute, I was still racked with tension. But I think anyone watching the game from a more neutral perspective would say that was such a deserved victory. And I just feel so sweet to say that.
I think 85 was when I was like, what's out there? Like, fully, like, you know what I mean?
I'm going to check, Matt. There's some woman who wants to get and watch the telly anyway, there, mate.
I hope she's having a shit night. Before we finish, just the goal scorers, Branthwaite. I know Keith said just a game as well in the match, but I thought that lad was absolutely colossal tonight. Like, scores the goal, obviously. I'm not having him, by the way, Alisson. Could have a conversation for another day, but best goalkeeper in the world. Absolute bollocks. He's awful. But Jarrod Branthwaite scores the goal. Everything that came into the box, he was just in the right place all the time. Composed when he had to be, solid when he had to be. Just absolutely superb. Listen, the lad might not be here beyond this summer, Dave, but he scored the winning goal at Merseyside Derby. I'm sure if he does go, he'll go with everyone's best wishes, but that lad is an unbelievable prospect, isn't he?
That's one for the mantelpiece that he's done tonight. Seeing him at the end as well, he was overjoyed. He's playing in a team, this lad, he's been shit for a long, long time, and he's carried it himself on so many occasions. And I think they've run out of ideas because he was there. Excuse me. I know Tarkowski's next to him. And ultimately, when they start, I think he's the type of fella, naturally, if you've never watched Everton before, Tarkowski's the man who's sort of educating him. It's so often, it's the opposite way around, that he's better than Tarkowski. You wouldn't think which one of them had the captain's armband. Looking at that, they ran out of ideas on him, because you've got Nunes in there, and I thought he'll be a threat here aerially. He was woeful. The two opportunities that hit both him and Diaz, I had them went straight to Pickford. And also, I think I made this point earlier on as well, but he's come there with an idea against Everton that wasn't fair against us. It's been naive that he's come here with thinking how they can easily beat us in the way in which they normally do at sides. A physical battle isn't one of them. They are not up for that. I don't care how big Van Dijk is. That Canate, I think, is pure shite as well. And you've got Dominic Calvert-Lewin played the best game he has for Sam talking years now for us today. Other thing about it well is that worked well is that he was up front on his own, no one within 5 or 10 yards, and he still managed to win it and lay it off. I know we've mentioned Jessica, I know we're going to finish now. There's one man I'm leaving it to though, and it's Jack Harrison, because Jack Harrison has been a woeful championship level player, maybe a League One player since we got him in, but tonight I thought he was outstanding. Did what he's always done, ran his bollocks off, but actually looked like he had some quality. And also Dwight McNeil could hit a proper corner for once.
That is Jack Harrison's niche. Like, at home against the side who are on paper a lot better than you, playing that almost like defensive winger role.
He skinned them a few times, though.
He did, to his credit. But I think his MO tonight was to run his bollocks off and defend. And now and again you need a winger like that, and I think the only time we've asked questions of him this year is when we've had weaker opposition in front of us, and you thought you're quite a good footballer if you have a bit of confidence with you and run at that fullback. It's apparent to me that it's not his game.
I was going to say, if I asked you or said to you at the start you're playing Godfrey right back, yeah, with Jack Harrison in front of him, and there you've got Luis Diaz there, it's probably Robinson been one of their best players. Yeah, exactly. Do you think Everton have got any chance against that? Absolutely not. Godfrey as well was absolutely fine. I could not criticise him.
That tackle in the first half for me was so good.
To keep it out, that one along the line, basically, yeah.
He's probably the individual lads I'd pick out there.
Yeah. The one thing is, though, lads, is like, when's the last time we've sat here debating on who's your best player, debating on how many lads have been so good here? Normally two, maybe three. Those in that 11 there, I couldn't think of a thought. And Ashley Young came on, I was shitting myself thinking Nikolenko was going around with one leg and taking care of Salah. And 45-year-old Ashley Young comes on, I'm thinking Mo Salah, probably one of the best players in the world.
Salah never
didn't see him all night. I didn't know he was on the fucking pitch most of the time.
I think a lot of that was because of what you've just said about Everton's right hand side.
Yeah.
And Jurgen Klopp probably looked at that, and in particular in the second half, and thought, we're going to get the ball out to Luis Diaz as often as possible. Yeah. And like, Ben Godfrey, for me, he will ultimately be the Everton player that divides his fan base constantly, and the doubters are probably the louder. I really like the lad, and at some point, I'm sure we'll see him at centre-half, and it'll probably be because Jarrod Branthwaite has moved on.
But
I think there's a lot to be said for a footballer whose only opportunities at this level come when he's parachuted into a bad side against teams like Liverpool, and he's got someone like Luis Diaz running at him, and he's largely untested. I think it's a massive credit to him, and I don't think we're really going to get a barometer of how good he is as a defender until he does ultimately get a consistent run of games in the position that he prefers. But the only thing I could say about Jarrod Branthwaite is he finally crossed the threshold on this podcast of us saying he's always good, so let's not talk about him. Tonight he was so good. Absolutely not.
He plays the game at 50% speed,
yeah, he does. Yeah.
Because he
yeah.
reads it so well.
I can't remember a time, as Keith said, where a ball's gone across the back four and you've seen him like really busting the gutter to get there, or he's outstretched, or he's particularly out of position. You know, other than one image this year of Haaland shoving him off the ball, I can't remember a time where this young lad has ever been troubled. It's a massive testament to him, and I just wish he hadn't held the badge when he celebrated a few times, because it just makes it hurt a little bit.
That's
more.
That's a heartbreak right there, yeah, is it? Absolutely.
And I guess, you know, the other man we'll obviously talk about is Dominic Calvert-Lewin, who, again, will ultimately divide people, but very few footballers and very few strikers will ruin Virgil van Dijk's night for 90 minutes. And this lad has a consistent talent of being able to live in that man's brain for 90 minutes every single season. And he's done that tonight. And it won't always result in a goal, and it won't always result in an Everton win. But there is something about a an Everton centre-half clearing a ball and it bouncing on the halfway line, and Dominic Calvert-Lewin looking at that falling ball thinking, I'm going to ruin this man's next 5 seconds here. Yeah. And you can see that he salivates over those moments where he knows that he just has that knack of getting ahead of the ball or getting his body in the way. And Virgil van Dijk obviously got an early yellow card tonight. And collectively, all around us, we said, he has the ability to get him sent off here. Because he just looked like a man who was totally rattled. You know, we've all seen Sky Sports coverage tonight and in years gone by, talking about Virgil van Dijk and how much of a composed, like, unbeatable defender he is. Dominic Calvert-Lewin looks like he'd ruin his career. Like, he absolutely despises playing against him. And we haven't had someone like that in this particular game since Tim Cahill played for David Moyes in it. So, total credit for Dominic Calvert-Lewin not only being the footballer that we needed, but just being the man and the character that we needed for a night like this to happen.
I haven't seen him jump like that for a long time, by the way. The last time I remember him doing that was ironically against Liverpool in the 3-3, I think, in COVID. The 2-2 in COVID. That's a day, I think Gary Neville said it in commentary. It's like he had springs on his feet. Look, you look how high he gets that goal. You know, it's right in front of you, and you're thinking, how's he beating these load of lads? Like Van Dijk there. You look at him and you think, again, someone else who's a championship player, and he looked woeful. And Dominic, I'm exaggerating there, but Dominic Calvert-Lewin looked every part of the striker we've been crying out to get back. But once people have been saying I'd start Beto ahead of him and things like that, go and do that. I don't know, half a season with Calvert-Lewin, we're nowhere near relegation, don't know if he does that. And I think if he keeps that in his mind, and I think there's been a lot of psychological stuff for him, and he suffered in terms of not being decent in Everton, in terms of not having opportunities in Everton. Today he's put a handful of difficulty in a team that's essentially one of the best in Europe, let's be honest, and we've gone and done that tonight.
I just want to wrap up my contribution this evening with a couple of post-match podcast cliches. Number one, can we have a shout out for James Garner? Quick mention for James Garner, because I thought he was brilliant tonight. He ran his legs off. He won every single tackle he went in for, and he was very positive going forward. The second cliche of mine is, I have wrapped up many a post-match podcast for Matt with, take solace in your loved ones. I'm not going to say that tonight, because there is no solace to be had. Instead, grab your loved ones, hug them, kiss them, hold them tight, bring them to Pop World, because I'm getting the round in. Up those fucking toffees.
Emma Kosh, follow her.
There's no way of following that. I would just like to say for the record that Andrew Robbo Robertson is fucking shite. And that's all I'm going to say on that. Thank you.
Great way to finish. We are singing the blues. Everton won, Liverpool lost. We are the pride of Merseyside. Amazing. Thanks to everybody who's listened to tonight. Thanks to everyone who's contributed. We'll be back to reflect on that in a bit more detail over the next few days. We'll have loads and loads of content after that win. And then it's Brentford on Saturday, which we'll feel ends excited about it. But yeah, we'll get to see those blues again. But what a night, what an occasion. Up the fucking toppies. We'll speak to you again very soon. Podcast Network.